I tell you, that's a wonderful feeling. Amen. To feel the touch of God's hand. Amen. Oh, I feel like preaching to us here. Book of Daniel, if you have your Bibles, amen. The book of Daniel, chapter number 3. Some verses I have preached in the past, some thoughts I have visited. Amen. Great God. God knows what He's doing. Amen. That's what I feel like visiting again here today. Amen. Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 13. I won't keep you long. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, amen. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, in my opinion, we all have Bible verses that are very dear to our hearts. We have Bible verses that we cherish dearly. John 3:16, one of my favorite Bible verses in all the Bible. Amen. But this verse right here is also one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. Amen. Verse number 17. And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Amen. Yeah. These verses right here. But if not, amen. Listen to, here is the voice of some strong Christians. Amen. Yeah. Great God. If it be so, our God, O king, if you throw us in the fiery furnace, amen. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now listen, and this is a major trial that these fellows are going through. They're actually looking at the fire. Amen.
Yeah.
And the enemy is about to put their faith to the test. They said, I believe God is going to deliver me. Amen. Verse number 19. Verse 18. But if not. I love this.
Yeah.
Woo! This is a little bit of iron, amen. I tell you, you need some iron in your blood, don't
right
you?
Right.
Great God.
Yeah.
But if not, amen, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods,
woo,
nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Hallelujah. Thank you for standing here today. I won't keep you long, amen. But the three Hebrew boys said, I believe God is going to deliver us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
But if he don't, guess what, old king? I still ain't going to bow to your gods. Hallelujah.
Right.
Woo! Amen. Oh, amen. Thank God in heaven. I really feel like telling us here, I believe that what they were saying is, if we've got to suffer the fire of God, I already mentioned to you earlier in this service, is on the throne. Amen.
Right.
But if God delivers us out of the fiery furnace, God is still on. What they were saying is, God's on the throne. If he pulls us out of the fire, keeps us from the fire, or he has to, amen, meet us in the fire. No matter what they said, I believe God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Now, I said these words in the past. So many times we judge God, and we judge whether God is in things, whether or not, God is moving. If God's moving and everything's going good, God is in it. Hallelujah. You ever been there? If things ain't going good, well, maybe God ain't in this. Amen.
Come on.
Maybe God's not in the middle of this and helping us. Praise God. And so we say, God's nowhere around. That's not what these three Hebrew boys had a mindset. They said, amen, we're going to have faith in God if he delivers us, amen, and keeps us from going through the fire.
All right.
Or we're going to have faith in God if we've got to trust him through the fire. Amen. Oh, yes. I've come to preach to us right here tonight. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. I said God is still on the throne. Amen. Thank God in heaven we look at a world that was mentioned on the onstart of this service, Brother Chuck. Amen. I tell you, there's sin all around. Hallelujah. It's a dark, dark hour. Amen. That Charlie was telling me over there before church started, he said on the news, they just made a declaration today and said we're not in a recession right now. I feel like no doubt we're probably there. Amen. But they said we're not in a recession right now, but it's inevitable. Amen. America is about to go through a very deep recession. It's the only way to be able to offset and stop this inflationary period that we are in right now. So there's a lot of people get worried and they say, what about my jobs? What about my 401ks? What about my houses and my vehicles and my land? What about all that stuff, amen, that I have? Well, I tell you what the three Hebrew boys would say. I believe God, amen, is going to keep us from it. But if he don't, he'll take us through it. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Great God in heaven. What about Paul? Amen. You can search the scriptures. But old Paul, Brother Tommy, amen, in the New Testament, if there was ever a man that had faith in God, it was Paul. Amen. Oh, yes. But guess what? Near the end of Paul's ministry, they had beat him. He had been shipwrecked. They had imprisoned him. But right there near the end, Paul faced the trial and battle of his life. They put him down in that dungeon that we know as the Mamertine prison. I've read of authors that you can actually go there today and visit that hole that they put old Paul in. Hey God, I'm about to feel like shouting, amen. You tell me, Brother Scotty Grooms, how you could take a man like Paul that had traveled the known world of that day, had traveled by ship, had traveled by foot, had traveled by horse, and preached most of the known world of that day. But now, brother, on near the end of his ministry, amen, old Nero puts him down in that dungeon of a hole called the Mamertine prison. And down inside that hole, amen, they said for months at a time, he never saw the light of day. For months at a time, amen, they lowered him an old, amen, slop plate down in that hole with the rats and with the mice. Amen. Oh, it was a horrible condition. You can read about it, and I would urge you to do so. But I tell you, that would break most of every one of us in here today. We'd lay down in that hole and we'd waller and say, oh my, there's not a God in heaven. God don't care about me. Why's God putting me through this? Oh, no, but not Paul. Paul was not of this world. But Paul wrote, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice in the Lord. Hey, God, they put Paul in the hole. But Paul, the hole never had a hold on Paul. He still had his mind on heaven. He still had his mind on God. You know what Paul said? You can put me in the hole, and I believe God's going to bring me out. But if he don't, I'll still keep the joy down in that dungeon. I'll still keep the joy. I come to preach to you here today. How are you looking at it? Are you letting the devil steal your joy? Are you letting the devil take everything you got just because life ain't going your way? Just because you feel like you got a bad hand dealt? Oh no, I believe God is able to pull me out of this. But if he don't, he'll keep me through it. That's why somebody in this house needs to cry to the Lord. God is going to pick me we have trouble, we must be out of the will of God.
Come on.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah.
Woo! I don't know where Michelle went.
Bless him.
Amen. I come to help us all today.
Come on.
But I was trying to help her too. Amen. Woo! Hey, God's just like the devil, ain't it? Amen. But she's told me several times, and I'm not here to bellyache and belly gripe. And she said, it's my fault. Amen. I hired him. Amen. And we had a little bit of trouble with the upstairs of our house in the summertime when it got hot, because it's just like this. You got a raised roof coming up, and on the other side of that is our shingles. And all we had was the old fiberglass insulation that you nailed in there. That's all we ever had through the years. And it was just so hot in the summer, and it was so cold in the winter. The kids loved to go and play and use that upstairs room. But so I hired the Reed's spray foam insulation to come in and spray. Hey, amen. Not knowing that they wasn't going to do the job right. Glory. Hey, anyway, to make a long story short, Brother George would have dapples in that slant, because the old way you had to allow ventilation in your roof, Brother Scotty, to allow ventilation in there. Amen. So anyhow, I got a contract where they're supposed to go up and pull all them baffles out, pull all that pink insulation out, and go in there and pack that with this new up-to-date insulation. Amen. And to make a long story short, they didn't pull half the baffles out. Amen. They didn't pack half of the, amen, runners down with insulation that they're supposed to. Amen. And you know what? A year or so went by, and we started getting all these water spots all on our ceiling. And my heart sank. I knew something was not. We let it go. Now we got sheetrock, or we had sheetrock busting off the seams all upstairs and all downstairs. Amen. Overreach everywhere where that spray foam is. Overreach's bedroom, over parts of the kitchen. Sheetrock busting off the walls. Amen. And Michelle told me the other day, she said, great God, we must not be doing something right. Amen. Look at all this. Our house is upside down, Brother George. Amen. Brother Scotty, it bothers me, but it bothers her way worse. I mean, our house is ransacked. Amen. 5-6 men been in and out for weeks. Amen. The church had to bust this sheetrock out of the upstairs of my house, and now they're trying to put it back. It's been a nightmare. But she said, and here's how we're trained to think. We must not be doing something right. Look at all that's going wrong. Here I come to shout it in the mouth of the devil's presence. I ain't doing nothing wrong. Hey, I tell you why the devil's fighting.
Come on.
Do it right. I tell you why the devil's fighting. Because I said I'm doing right. He come to tear you down. He come to pull you down. He come Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do nothing wrong. But Brother Scotty, they got thrown in the fire for doing right. And I come to tell you, sometimes you'll face the fire for doing right. Woo!
Yes.
Yes. Won't you raise your hand and praise the Lord? I said sometimes you'll face the fire for doing right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Glory.
Somebody said, God ain't meeting my needs. So therefore, God must not be in it. No, sometimes you better learn.
Yes.
Amen. To tough it out. We live in such a sissified generation today.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
If God don't pay the bills in full and up 6 months ahead, amen. Come on. If you ain't in flame and y'all never, God must not be in this. Hey, I never seen such a beat. And I'm preaching to Jason too right here. And I'm preaching to you right here. Amen. It's time to toughen up, Buttercup. I said it's time to get a little iron in your blood. God, I'm going to serve you, Lord, if everything's going right. And I'm going to serve you, God, if ain't nothing going right. Hey, as for me and my house, I said I'm going to serve the Lord. I said as for me and my house, the devil ain't going to put me through the fire. God will be with me through the fire.
Jesus.
That is right,
brother. Yes, sir.
Right.
Woo! Bless
Thank you, Lord.
Elimelech and Naomi are still leaving for Moab.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! John Marks are still turning back. Demases are still forsaking the Lord. Lots are still turning back for Sodom. Amen. The well-watered plains of Jordan. Jacobs are still fleeing for Haran. Abrahams are still running to Egypt. But thank God, give me a Shadrach and a Meshach and an Abednego.
Yeah.
That'll sing. I don't care if the bread dries up. I'm staying in Egypt. Give me a Shadrach. Meshach and Abednego. That'll say, great God. Amen. Hey, if I am sick, I'm going to serve God anyway. If my children are lost, I'm going to keep serving God. If the devil is fighting, I'm going to put a little grit down in my soul. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, I come to tell us, preachers, amen, you got to learn, amen, that it ain't always a bed of roses. It ain't always hunky dory. It ain't always a pillow to lay your head on. Wake up and realize you got some suffering to do in this present world.
Right, right.
Oh, you're right.
Right.
If things don't turn out to your appraisal, amen, then we say God ain't in this. Woo! That's such a carnal way, and it's a very, listen to me, it's a dangerous way to live your life.
Yes, it is.
But you know why we're there? Well, just got a good job. God's on the throne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, lost my job, but he's not there no more. You don't know where I'm at. Bills are paid, God.
Come on. Come on.
Well, I got a bunch of bills and hospital bills and doctor bills. God's not holding me. That's the way we live our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! Church is doing good. Amen. Let me tell you something. Churches go through swings too. Amen. Churches go through cycles where you don't feel like you wish you'd feel. Well, church is doing good. Great God. God must be on the throne. Well, we're going through a dry spell. Amen. That part just fell off. Amen. God must not be on the throne. Yeah, come and tell us here today. Quit living your life like that.
Hello.
Amen. When it's good, God's here. When life ain't good, that's not how God operates. Hey, that shows a lack of prayer in your life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were prayed up and they knew. Hey, I'm not going to bow to the idol God. No matter what, I believe God is going to deliver me.
Yeah.
But if he don't, I'm not bowing. And that's the attitude you've got to have. That's the mentality that we got to adopt. I'm not going to be a whip serving God.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
My. Ooh, so carnal way of thinking. Hey there.
Yeah.
If we're well, God's on the throne. If we're sick, God must not be on the throne. Woo! Oh, yes. God was on his throne when you didn't have a job, sir.
Yeah.
God was on his throne when I was in nursing school, barely fumbling my way through. Amen. Just about flunked out, God was still on the throne.
Yeah.
If I had flunked out, God would have still been on the throne.
Yeah.
Woo!
Right.
As far as I know, I'm a healthy fella today. Amen. And I pray God keeps me that way so I can work for him. But if some dreaded disease hits me tomorrow, great God, God's still good. Did you hear me? God's still good. Hey, but God, I feel the wall of the enemy right here. Church, let's break this through. Let's break this down. Hey, amen. My mom, she's a sufferer right now. Her feet and legs are swelling. She's got congestive heart failure. Last time, about 4 years ago, she had multiple blockages, 60% or so. They said they weren't big enough to put stents in. My dad said all she does is lay around the house. Ain't got no energy for nothing. I come to tell us, amen, if that's the place that life gets me to, God's still good.
Yeah.
I to tell you today, you're approaching life with the wrong mindset. God is on the throne, and God is good no matter what.
Yeah.
David Livingston placed his wife in an African grave and had to come out of there. Left his wife in Africa in an African grave. Amen. God is still good.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yes.
I'm preaching to you here. You might as well go ahead and ask God to help you. Come on. Because I know what the Lord spoke to in my heart.
Come on.
We can't judge our lives. Oh, he's up here. Things are smooth.
Yeah.
Well, he thanks actually. God's on the throne always.
Always.
Right.
Always.
That's right. Blessing. Oh, anything I do not care about my house, amen. I'm a germaphobe. I'm not really a germaphobe. I'm a more of a neat fella.
Yeah.
Whether you believe it or not, I know sometimes it may not be organized great, but I know where stuff is.
Yeah.
For the most part. And I like to have stuff where I can know where it is. Where I can get to it, our house is upside down. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. I mean, and Michelle said, it just ain't bothering you, is it? And I thought, no, it's bothering me, but there ain't a thing in the world I can do about it. Amen. I said, there ain't nothing. What if they don't put it back right? There ain't one thing I can do about it. I guess I have to take a loan out to, amen, rip her out again and find somebody to do it right. Amen. I don't have no clue what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I don't know what tomorrow might bring, but I know who brings tomorrow. Hey, I'm coming to preach to you right here tonight. But thank you, God. But thank you, the Lord. You can't control life. You can't control the ups and downs. But God is still on the throne.
Still on the throne. Yes. Praise God.
Yes. Preacher said,
right.
Pray. God will give me all I need. This might knock the wind out of some of your sails. Believe it or not, you need trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the truth.
Woo!
Yeah.
Pressure.
Uh-huh.
You're preaching right.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Believe it or not, you need some trouble.
Yes.
We need the sun as well as the shadow. We need the noon as well as the midnight. Amen.
All right.
I like what one old man said. Now this is something I heard. Amen. The preacher said he was in an old-fashioned prayer meeting. And said there's an old man over there. Simple old man. But he had an experience with God. And said that old man got to praying. And said, oh God, I do not like the taste of baking powder. Amen. He said, oh God, I hate the taste of flour. Ooh. Amen, God, I hate the taste of shortening. Ooh. And he went on and he named four or five things. He said, but oh God, mix them all up together and put them in the oven. And I love hot biscuits. Hey, come on. You might not like every step of the journey, but put that together and God's going to make something out of it. You need trouble. You need hardship. You need the struggle. It'll make you the man. It'll make you the woman that you need to be.
Yes, Lord.
I loved him after that. I've told it through the years and I butchered up. I know that caterpillar. Before he turns into a butterfly and gets his wings, he's got to go through a hard struggle.
Hard struggle.
Right. And it's called the cocoon, right?
Yeah.
And he gets in that cocoon, Brother Earl, he's got to go through the struggle coming out of there.
Yeah.
He's all bound up, all gooey and goopy, and got all that. Brother George, if you go over and break him loose, he'll die. He's got to come through the struggle.
He's got to.
I know this ain't what you wanted to hear.
Come on.
God said you got to come through the struggle to be who He wants you to be.
All right. All right.
I want you to raise that hand. God, would you bring us through the struggle? God, would you help us to believe that you're on the throne no matter what? Amen.
God was on the throne when John Bunyan was in jail for 12 years.
Sure was.
I've told this before, but it's fitting again here today. John Bunyan got released from prison. Did you know that? Mm. They put him in prison
right. For
preaching on the streets without a permit.
Yeah.
And you go to get a permit, and they wouldn't give you a permit because they said, we don't want you preaching on the streets. So guess what he did? He went and preached on the streets with no permit.
Yeah.
And they kept throwing him in jail. He did it so many times, they gave him a long prison term. They said, you're done. We're putting you in prison. Amen. So you know what? Finally, you know, after some time, his family went and fought, you know, the courts and stuff, and they got him released. He had a little daughter. She was blind, as the book said. She was blind. And she went down to a visitation, saw her dad in jail, said, Dad, I got some good news. He said, what's that, baby doll? She said, you get to come home. He said, is that right? She said, oh, yeah. Dad, amen. They finally ruled and said, you can come home. But there's only one stipulation, Dad. When you get out of this jail, you can't go back preaching on them streets. Tears began to run down his eyes. And he looked at that blind daughter of his. And I forgot her name. He called her by name. He said, honey, Dad, it was you. And he put his arms around that daughter. And he began to hug and love that daughter. He said, I love you with every fiber in me. He said, but if they let me out of jail today, I'll be preaching on the streets this evening. Ooh, hallelujah. I felt that right there.
Shoot
down my spine. He said, if they let Daddy out of jail today, I'll be preaching on the street this evening. Amen. And you know what? Amen. John Bunyan stayed the next 12 years of his life. Amen. In prison, locked down. All he had in his cell was an old hard bench to sleep on and a three-legged stool. And he took one of them legs of that stool off and he carved a flute out of it and he sang gospel songs and he preached. And during that 12 years, he wrote the all-time greatest selling book to this day, second to only one. Amen. You know what that is? The number one seller of all time is the B-I-B-L-E.
Yeah.
And it always will be. They tried to shut it down. They tried to put it off. Amen. In extinction. But you can't put a fire out. Amen. That's backed by the Holy Ghost.
Woo.
Hey. But I tell you why old John Bunyan had to stay 12 years in that prison. It was a struggle. I believe God put him through, because in that 12-year struggle, he wrote what is known today as the Pilgrim Progress, second bestseller of all time. It is a journey of a Christian going through the wilderness, trying to make it to the promised land.
Yeah.
And it's an allegory of the Christian going through a wicked world, trying to make it to heaven. You got to go through the struggle to get to where you need to be. Hey, the problem is you need to change your mindset.
Change your mindset.
Instead of being the victim all the time, you got to say, God, I'm going to praise you.
Yes.
When the sun shines, and I'm going to praise you.
Yes.
Amen. When the storms fall.
Right.
Hallelujah. Woo. I got so much more to preach, but I can see right now I ain't going to have time for all of it. Glory. God doesn't have to satisfy us to be good. Some of the greatest blessings you'll ever get is in the night seasons of life. Listen to me. I said some of the greatest blessings that you'll ever get is in the dark hours of your life. Oh, yes, look at Joseph. God gave Joseph a dream. Amen. of his brothers and even his father and his mother bowing down unto him. And his brothers got jealous. I don't have time to preach all this. His brothers got jealous. And you know what they did? Amen. They took him out there. Amen. Oh, yes. They wanted to kill him. And finally, a brother stood up and said, no, let's throw him down in the pit. So he went down in the pit. And they're still debating on what to do with Joseph. And along comes some Ishmaelite slave traders.
Yep.
They said, let's sell him. So they got the price of an old wounded slave out of a godly man. And Joseph was sold by Ishmaelite slave traders down to Egypt. Down to the pit, down to Egypt. He goes down to Egypt. Seemed like things went a little better for him. He got auctioned off on the auction block, and Potiphar bought him. A great man in Egypt.
Yeah.
Amen. But guess what? It went down again. The night seasons of Joseph's life made him who he was.
Yeah. Right.
That's good.
So he gets down there in Potiphar's house. You know the story. He rises up. Potiphar makes him, amen, second in command. Potiphar's wife sets up a plot for him. Amen. And really gets him in a tight spot and claims that he, amen, tried to commit adultery with her, and he ran out of there and got out of there quick as he could, but he left his coat, but he kept his character. Come on now. And so she gets his coat and she screams to the guards of the house, look at what this Hebrew slave has done to me. And guess what? Now he goes down to prison, down in the dungeon, and he's down there a long time, but it's the night season of Joseph's life that got him ready where God wanted him to be.
Yeah.
It took years of the night season of Joseph's life, but when God gets ready, when God gets ready, you know what he did? He flipped it, and just over the moment of one night, the next day, he was sitting in the palace, and it was the night season of Joseph's life that got him ready for what God had planned for his life.
Amen.
I ain't got time to preach it all out. Somebody come on up here and help me. David was anointed king, Brother Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere at age 13 to 15. You know, I'd say probably about 15.
Yep.
Some people squabble on that. Somewhere age 15 years old, a year younger than John. Brother's still 15, right? For about a month more. Brother's age. David was anointed king.
Yep.
Over land. Brother George.
Yes.
No doubt he probably thought, wow, after all sunk in, he didn't believe it, no doubt, that day. But after it all said and done, a day or two later, he probably thought, wow, I'm getting ready to go sit on a throne. Oh, no. Night season was about to set in.
That's a truth.
The darkest years of David's life was with the calling that God had put on his life.
That's right.
We think because God calls us to do something, it's going to be a bed of roses. That ain't always the case. Sometimes it might be the case, but probably more times than not, it's not going to happen like that.
Yes. True.
You know what happened? David come in there. I mean hardship after hardship for it. No, David was running like an old dog for his life.
Right.
Saul had thrown the javelin at him multiple times. Finally, David hiding in cave after cave after the night season. David's life taught him to be a king after God's own heart later in life.
Yes.
It wasn't till about the age of 30 that David finally sat on the throne. 15 years. David ran for his life. 15 years. David had the hardest battle, no doubt, of all his life was right then.
Yeah.
I understand later what Solomon and all that corruption in the kingdom happened. I believe that was hard times in David's life too. But this was a hard battle in David's life.
That's right. Sure.
But it taught him to be who God wanted him to be.
Yes.
Stay with me in this house. I preached longer than I wanted to. I got some more on my head, but I preached enough to you here. We look at life, Brother George, and just because it ain't going how we wish, how we thought, how we had dreams. Look at Joseph's dream. Wow.
Joseph had a dream.
God was going to do all these things. But his same way about the next 15 years.
Yeah.
Torture.
Torment.
Yep. Torment. But he never lost his dream.
Thank God.
He was in the dungeon. He was in the pit. He was a slave. He was down in the world of Egypt. But he still had his dream.
Right.
Don't lose your dream. I'm going to leave you with this while I'm quitting here. Getting back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Brother Tommy. I've always thought about this. I've admired this. They, guess what, Brother Scotty? They had to go through the fire.
Yep.
They throwed them in the fire. You know the story. It's a wonderful story. I can reach it out and we can get happy again. He said, how many we throw down there? They said, did we not throw three yet? We see four. And the fourth man is likened to the Son of God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He'll go with you through the fire.
Jesus, Jesus.
All right. Here's what I've always pondered on. They got out of that fire. They come out. And the Bible said, I love this. You've never caught this. Most of you. It's about guaranteed you've never caught this. And the Bible said, when they come out of the fire, the smell of smoke was not upon their bodies. You caught that. But you didn't catch this. The smell of smoke was not on them, Brother George. What's that say? God delivered them through the fire. He delivered them out of the fire. When they got out of the fire, it was as though they had never been in the fire.
That's right.
All right? We come out of the fire and we got smell of smoke on us. We grime, we complain, and we got that smell of smoke on us the next 30 years of our life. God said when he brings you out, he won't even have the smell of smoke.
Jesus.
Now you're here with me, Lord. God, you sent me here today. Preach this message, God. And I preached it the best I could with the feeble effort I had. Lord, there's folks, there ain't one folks, there's multiple people right here today. God, they got to embrace the storm. They got to embrace the night shift of life. Because it's too heavy for our days. God's going to bring you out. It's through them dark days that God will strengthen you and make you who you are. David became king in the dark days. The three Hebrew boys became who they were in this fire. I come to tell somebody here tonight, you will become who you are right now in this heart place. Who are you? You're going to come out fighting. You're going to come out swinging. You're going to come out without the smell of smoke. Or are you going to have that smoke on you the next 30 years? Alright, while they play and sing here, who'll be the first one to get this altar and say, Lord, I need that help tonight. I'm gonna let you still be on the throne in the night season of my life.
Hallelujah.
The night times of my life, God, I'm gonna let you be on the throne. Church, God sent me here to preach to you today.
Thank you. Jesus.